business, and I'd see a particular horse or a particular bloodline, and I'd start to desire to have that bloodline. I'd covet that bloodline. When I do anything, I get into it with both feet. I go at it 100%. And I used to study the Quarter Horse Journal the way I studied the Bible now. Or in snowmobiles. A few years ago, I decided that Sandy and I were going to get new snowmobiles. And I started to study about Renegades and Skidoos. And I started to covet that. Now, again, that's not bad as long as God is still first in your life. And so I started to seek that and to desire to own one. Well, do you know when you set your attention on something and you keep setting your attention on that particular thing, it's going to show up? And Kenneth Hagin, as I call him, my grandfather in the faith, he really marked my life 20-some years ago, his ministry. And he told the story about how he used to travel around the country and how he would go into different churches. And he'd hold a meeting at a church maybe for 2 weeks at a church. And back in those days, they would hold meetings at 10 o'clock in the morning and then at nighttime again. And he said that this went on over a period of 5, 6, 7 years. And he said he would find that he'd go into one church, and he said the gifts of the Spirit would be operating in him. He said, because he had the gifts of the Spirit operating in his life so much, and he said he'd lay hands on people, and he'd watch tumors fall off. The gifts of prophecy would be working. And he said it would just be amazing. And then he'd go down the road to the next church, and he'd spend 2 weeks at that church, and it would be just dry, and nothing would be happening. There'd be no gifts of the Spirit operating. And he wasn't sure. He said, I didn't fast any less, pray any less. I wasn't doing anything any different. What was happening? So finally, after a period of time, he took some time off, and he decided he's going to wait on God and find out why this is happening. And he says, the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord says, does not my word say that you're supposed to desire spiritual gifts? And he says, was not that letter written not to an individual, not to John Doe at the church at Corinth, but it was written to the church at Corinth? That means that the church has to desire the gifts. And he says, some of these churches have been taught about the gifts, and so because they know about the gifts, they're desiring the gifts. The next church you go to, they know nothing about the gifts. They haven't been taught about the gifts, and therefore there's no desire, and the Spirit of God is unable to move in that particular church. Well, for a few years now, I would say a couple of years, we've been praying Wednesday nights at our prayer meeting every once in a while, and we're desiring the gifts. But the Bible doesn't say that the Bible study group are supposed to desire the gifts, or the prayer meeting group are supposed to desire the gifts, or Pastor Ray and Linda are supposed to desire the gifts. It says that the church is supposed to desire the gifts. And so what I want you to do today is I want you to say, we desire the spiritual gifts. We, Solid Rock Church, desire the spiritual gifts. And so I just want to show you a couple of things. I used to teach this in Santa Clara Church, and we used to see some gifts of the Spirit operating when I went to Santa Clara Church. But I used to teach this. I used to say this. I said, you know, let's say you love chocolate cake. Let's say you really, really like eating chocolate cake. Well, my wife makes a great chocolate cake. But when you have a desire for a chocolate cake, you're not even thinking of my wife's chocolate cake because you don't even know she makes a chocolate cake. But if I get up here and brag a half an hour about how great of a chocolate cake she makes, then tomorrow when you get a desire for chocolate cake, you may start to think about, well, I should go over to Sandra Cook's and get her chocolate cake. So my point is you've got to hear about something. And the more you hear about it, the more then you start to desire it. There's an interesting scripture in Mark chapter 6, verse 47 and 48. It says, now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he, which is Jesus, was alone on the land. And it says, and then he saw them, is his disciples. These are Christians. He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them and walking on the sea, and it says, and he would have passed them by. It said he would have passed them by. Now I won't read the rest of it, but they cried out to him and they got his attention. Then he stopped. But what's interesting to me is here's his disciples. They're in a boat in the sea in trouble, and yet it says that he would have passed them by. Then again, we see in Luke the 18th chapter, in verse 35, and it says, then it happened as Jesus was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. Now, we know this is blind Bartimaeus because of Mark chapter 4. In verse 36, it says, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. And so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Here again is blind Bartimaeus sitting there, and Jesus is passing by. In verse 38, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And in verse 39 and 40, it says, those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. These are the religious people telling him to shut up. But in verse 40, it says, Jesus stood still. the point I'm trying to make to you is that if Jesus is walking around Main Street on Sunday morning and walking around, we don't want him to pass Solid Church by. For this church has been here for 25 plus years, and the gifts of the Spirit have not been operating in this church the way they should be. They have not been operating in Swan River the way they should be. And so my desire, and I want it to be your desire, is that we desire the spiritual gifts. And we want to see the spiritual gifts happen in our church. We want to see blind eyes open. We want to see when people are having problems in Swan River that they know. We know where to go. We know to come to Solid Rock Church. And so that's what my desire is to get across to you. Now, I want you to remember a couple things. When the Apostle Paul wrote the letter in Corinthians, he wrote it to the church at Corinth. Number two, these people were already filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is a Pentecostal church. I know you guys have heard some of this before, but we've got a new crop of people. There's new things, and we have to learn this stuff. And speaking in tongues is in the Bible. Speaking in tongues, but the thing is, I'm not going to go into that today. I'm not going to go into that part of it today about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and being full of the Holy Spirit, because these people were already that way in 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote the letter to the church. But what I want you to see is that he was answering a letter. He had gone to Corinth. He had started up a church in Corinth. Now he's away, and now they're having a bunch of problems in the church. And so they write him a letter, and they're asking him a bunch of questions. So anytime you're reading the Bible, so you don't get your doctrine all mixed up, you've got to find out who's doing the talking, who they're talking to. What dispensation are they in? Are they in the Old Covenant? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was operating under the Old Covenant. Okay, now this is a New Covenant in 1 Corinthians. And so in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, it says, this is Paul. He says, he wrote a bunch of greetings, and now he says, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me. Okay, so now he's starting to answer their letter. All right? Now, a lot of times he'll make these statements. So obviously they ask him about a man touching a woman. He answers that. Now, in 1 Corinthians 8, 1, then he says, now concerning things offered to idols, and he starts to answer that question. Okay, so what he's doing is answering questions. And a lot of times you'll see a statement, and we think that Paul is saying that. All he's doing is writing down what they asked, and then he gives his answer. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, 1, now he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now he's answering this question. He says, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Well, if he didn't want the church at Corinth to be ignorant, then he doesn't want Solid Church in Swan River to be ignorant. I find that any time that God really focuses on something in the Bible, that's going to be where the devil fights the hardest. You know that in Ephesians, he says, above all, take the shield of faith. Four times in the Bible, it says that us Christians are supposed to be walking and living by faith. So what do you suppose the devil would do? He would fight the faith message as hard as he could. He would laugh and mock at it and make fun of naming it and claiming it and belittle the faith message. Well, how about when the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, how about when he said that we're not supposed to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts? What do you think the devil has done? There are thousands and thousands of churches that don't even believe in the spiritual gifts. There are millions of Christians that don't even believe in the spiritual gifts. There are other places that believe it, they believe it, but only on paper. Okay? I believe in prosperity. But I'm not happy just to believe in prosperity. I want to experience some of it. I believe in healing. But I'm not happy enough just to believe in healing. I want to experience some of it. Same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not happy enough just to believe in them. I want to experience it. I want to see it happening in Solid Rock Church. We were just come from Texas, and we saw the gifts of the Spirit operating. We sat in the church 2 weeks ago. We saw tongues and interpretation. We saw gifts of healings working at the convention. There was a group that Aaliyah was involved with that they go out in evangelism. And there was a couple guys in army gear that they led to the Lord. And one guy was blind, and they prayed for his healing, and he received his sight. My thing is that every time something happens to one of us and we have a problem in our lives, we haven't got time to jump on an airplane and fly to Fort Worth, Texas to get somebody down there to pray for us. We haven't got time to run into Benny Hinn Crusades or all those places. I mean, that's fine if that's what God wants us to do, but I believe that this church was not written to the church at Fort Worth, Texas. It was written to the church at Corinth for all of us, and I believe it should be happening here in Swan River. So let's start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Okay, now all that means is that we know from church history that that Corinth was a really rough city. And these people got saved, but they used to be in idol worship. And these people were in idol worship. And so now they got saved and they come into the church. But they're brand new Christians. They don't know nothing about anything. And with this idol worship come a lot of false stuff. And some of them would get up and they would start to prophesy. And in that, they would call Jesus accursed. And he said to them, That's wrong. He says, you guys can't call Jesus accursed. That's not the Holy Spirit. You're operating under the wrong spirit here. And he says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Again, that's talking about speaking by inspiration. If you found some guy sitting out in the street that was totally broke, and you said, here, I'll give you $100 if you say Jesus is Lord, that guy's going to say Jesus is Lord. This is not what that's talking about. It's talking about in a ministry setting, it's talking about being led by the Spirit, then nobody can call Jesus accursed. If they do, it's wrong. It's not the Holy Spirit leading you. And the only way that you can magnify Jesus in those settings is being led by the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, or in the King James, to every man for the profit of all. That means that everybody in this church can be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the self-same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I'm calling this message today, the gifts of the Spirit, an introduction to the gifts of the Spirit, just a basic introduction. Because, I mean, if we were doing a Bible study, we can take each gift and we can spend the whole session on just one gift. Okay, so this is just an introduction. Some of you know this, but some of you don't. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now, these are not the only gifts. You remember it was Simon in Acts chapter 8, and he saw that the apostles lay hands on people and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'll give you money for that gift. Whoever I lay hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. So there's different kinds of gifts, but this is different. These are the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there are 9 gifts mentioned. 3 of those gifts say something, 3 of those gifts do something, and 3 of those gifts reveal something. The gifts that say something are the gifts of utterance or inspiration gifts. That's prophecy, that's different kinds of tongues or various kinds of tongues, and I want you to get that. It's different kinds of tongues. We'll get that in a minute. And the interpretation of tongues. Then the ones that do something are the gifts of power or the power gifts, and they are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And then the third set is the gifts that reveal something, or the gifts of revelation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Out of those 9 gifts, seven of those gifts worked all the time in the Old Testament. And again, if we had more time, we could go through the Old Testament and show you every one of those 7 gifts working in the Old Testament. Also, those 7 gifts worked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in Jesus' ministry. But 2 of those gifts were only for the New Testament church, only for us, only for the New Testament church, tongues and interpretation of tongues. You will not see tongues and interpretation of tongues in the Old Testament or in the ministry of Jesus. It's for us. Now, can you imagine that the one thing that Jesus set aside just for us, the New Testament church, that thousands of churches say has passed away, it's not relevant for today? It's amazing to me. I've told this story before here many times. More than once. But I want to tell it again. There, about 20 years ago, I saw a pastor on TV, on TBN. And it just marked my life. And he said he was ministering. Now, you've got to remember, this church is small. 2 weeks ago, I've been in churches that have 10,000 people, and I can't relate to that. But we were in church 2 weeks ago today in Eagle Mountain Church. When it's full, the guy, usher, told me it sits 1,300 people. And in fact, you know, you just don't get to know everybody. In fact, I was in the bookstore after the service, and there was a guy I know from Keith Moore's church in Branson. I'm talking to, and I'm talking to him, and a guy from the Sarasota church walked up, and he overheard us talking, and so he said to me something about he's from Sarasota church. I'm talking to him because they have these two churches. Keith Moore has a church in Branson and one in Sarasota. As I'm talking, this girl, her name is Stephanie, she walks up to me, and she's from the Sarasota church that Sandra and I got to know. Hey, Doug, she has sort of an accent, and so she shows up at all these things, and so we're talking away. So then, and I says, well, this guy here, his name was Cliff. I says, do you know him? I says, he's from the Sarasota church. And she says, no, I don't know him. Well, they found out that they've been going to the same church, I think, for over 3 years, and they never saw each other before. But the thing is that, you know, I mean, it's a big church. And she says, well, I sit over here. Well, I know where she sits because Sandra and I always sit with her. But he sits way on the other side, and they never see each other. And so it's possible. Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked here. So this pastor is preaching on TBN, and he says that he's in a church, and he says all of a sudden he looks down, he sees a little girl about four rows back. She's about 12 years old, and she always reminds me of Aaliyah back when maybe she would have been 12 years old, just a little keener, just keen for the word of God. And she's sitting with a Bible in her lap, and she's got a pair of scissors, and she's cutting out stuff in the Bible. And he said it just shocked him. I get emotional. I don't know why I get emotional and tell this story, but she's cutting out of her Bible. And he walked to her and he says, what are you doing? And she said, oh, pastor, she said, I just enjoy your services. And she said, every time you tell me that something doesn't exist anymore, it's passed away, I just cut it out of the Bible. And here's this girl sitting there, 12 years old, with a third of her Bible missing. And he said it just shocked him. And so he went back and he started to recheck what he was preaching. And so so what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to cut out 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, because tongues and the gifts of interpretation and the gifts of the Spirit have passed away? I think not. I think this is relevant for today. Anyways. Man, it's already 11:30. Okay, let's just look at the gifts. The utterance gifts. Prophecy. We all know what prophecy is. Just because somebody comes up in a church service and prophesies doesn't mean that they're set in the office of a prophet. Two totally different things. There is a fivefold ministry, the office of the prophet. Somebody can come up and give a simple prophecy. That doesn't mean they're a prophet. Secondly, different kinds of tongues. There's different kinds of tongues. The main kind of tongue is our prayer language. Every believer should be baptized in the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. They should have a prayer language. And the Apostle Paul spends a lot of time in here teaching the difference between private tongues and public tongues, okay? So there's different kinds of tongues. There's prayer language. There's also tongues for a sign tongue, and there's also ministry tongue that are for a ministry. Then there's also the interpretation of tongues. So we might see in a church service like this, as we start to learn how to operate in the gifts, somebody will get up and they'll give a tongue, and then somebody else will interpret that tongue. Now, I've seen a lot of that kind of stuff, and it's wonderful. It edifies the church. It's an edification. Prophecy, tongues and interpretation will equal prophecy. Prophecy, the prophet gets up, or the man gets up, or the woman gets up, and they'll prophesy, or it may come through a tongue and interpretation. A tongue is given, then an interpretation is given. The power gifts are the gift of faith. This is not normal faith. The Bible talks about a saving faith in Ephesians 2. It talks about a general faith in Romans 12. It talks about the fruit of faith in Galatians 5. This is up and above that. This is a special faith. Then there's a working of miracles and the gifts of healings. And just for instance, I've read a lot of Smith Wigglesworth, and he talks about that. Well, you know, if you walk, he raised, I think it was either 15 or 17 people from the dead. Well, you don't walk up and decide, I'm going to go raise that guy from the dead. You need the gift of faith operating in your life. And the gift of faith was operating in Smith Wigglesworth's life. The other thing is that some of these gifts will go together. So if somebody has died of cancer, and you just go raise him from the dead, what's going to happen? he's just going to die again because you have to have the gift of healing operating. The other thing is working in miracles. And I'm rushing through this a little bit, but I have to. Working in miracles. If somebody breaks their finger, okay, you pray for their finger's healed. That's the gifts of healing. But if their finger's cut off, no finger, then what do they need? They need the working of miracles for that finger, for a new finger to grow. And we're seeing a lot of that right now. There's stuff like that happening all over the world. Arms growing out. And there was a testimony I just heard recently that the eye was gone and a new eyeball was put in. Working of miracles. We need to be desiring that at Solid Rock Church because we are coming to a spot right now in the world. There's the Spirit of God is starting to pour out, and He's looking for hungry hearts, and we're saying, "Pick us, Lord." Here we are at Solid Rock Church. Word of wisdom. Oh, let me just one more thing. Gifts of healings. The King James Bible does a sort of a poor job of doing that, but if you look at the original, the words gifts and the word healings are plural. Gifts of healings. And so what that means is that different people can be used in different things. And I remember Kenneth Hagin. It seemed like he was used for tumors. It just seems like tumors would just disappear when he prayed for people. The church I used to go to, Pastor Cliff Paul in Santa Clara, it seems like anybody who had a headache, he just prayed for them and their headache would disappear. You know, so there's different... I just heard just recently I heard a testimony from a couple and a pastor and his wife, and people would come forward for prayer. And one particular thing, he said, "You know, go and have my wife pray for that because she seems like God uses her more in that." Word of wisdom is for the future. Anytime you have a word of wisdom, somebody will give you stuff for the future. The word of knowledge is more for now. And let me just say this: these things can come in dreams, they can come in visions. They can come through tongues and interpretation. Like, we can't put it in a box. Like, you can have a word of wisdom, but it doesn't have to necessarily mean that it's just a word spoken to you. It can come in dreams and visions and that kind of thing. Just something that Richard Roberts, for instance, is used a lot in words of knowledge, and he calls out healings. And he'll say, you know, there's somebody over there getting healed of cancer. Somebody over here, this is happening. That's just a word of wisdom working along with the gifts of healings. But it comes through the word of knowledge. It's something existing or having existed in the past as a word of knowledge. It has to do with people, places, and things. Just an example that happened to me years ago. There was a young guy in Santa Clara Church that befriended my pastor, and he was a school teacher. And his name was Brad. He started coming to church, and he got saved and born again, and he was coming to church a lot, and they played hockey together. Well, then he got transferred back to Brandon, and so then he was living in Brandon and attending the church there in Rapid City that we used to go to. So one Sunday, we had all the church come together in Rapid City we had a special speaker, and there's praise and worship going on. And I'm sitting in the fourth row where Marie is. I'm sitting in the fourth row. He was sitting in the third row, just where Standard would have been, on the outside. And we're just in praise and worship. And the Lord says to me, "Go and tell Brad that I love him." And it's like, I said, guess what I said? No. Because that's so religious to me. I mean, everyone comes up, "Jesus loves you," you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not a really religious person, if you get to know me really well. A little bit later, the Lord says to me again, "Go and tell Brad that I love him." I said, "No," but a little bit quieter this time. The third time, the Lord said to me, "I said to go and tell Brad that I love him." So I get out of my seat, I walk around, the place is absolutely packed. I go to the back, I come up, he was standing there. I put my hand on his shoulder, I says, "Brad, the Lord just told me to tell you that he loves you." He looks at me, he starts to cry, he runs out to the altar, down on his knees. Now everybody's looking at me, like they don't know what I said to him. And he's down there, so they give him a little bit of time, and then after a while the pastor went up and prayed for him. After the service we had coffee, and he comes to me and he says, "I just want you to know what happened there." He says, "I was ready to quit on God." He said, "I had a bunch of stuff happen in my life and I was ready to quit." And he said, "When I drove from Brandon this morning to church," he said, "I told the Lord," he says, "Lord, I'm done with you unless you have somebody come up today and show me that you love me and tell me that you love me." But he said, the other thing is interesting. He said, and he mentioned this lady's name. He said, "If she would have come up and told me that," he said, "I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have affected me one little bit because she's always saying those kind of things, you know." He said, "But," he said, "when you come up," he said, "I know you don't do that kind of stuff." And he said, it just affected me. Well, okay, that's just a word of knowledge, but what is it doing? It's edifying the church or a member of the church. It's just, it blessed that man, and whatever was going on in his life, it helped him. But those are things that God wants to use us with, but he wants us to be attentive and listen. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Let me just say this about the discerning of spirits. It's not the gifts of discernment. The Bible doesn't talk about the gifts of discernment. It's the discerning of spirits. And this is not just devils. It can be angels. It can be Jesus. People, nobody's ever seen Jesus. He's left, and he's not coming back until he comes to get us. But there have been lots of people who had visions of Jesus. That's a discerning of spirits, discerning of angels, discerning of devils. So let me just keep going on here quickly. The private use of tongues and the public use of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 12, 18 and 19. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were one member, where would the body be? So we're all members of a body. We're all members of a body. And it says if we're just one member, where would the body be? If you had a whole bunch of arms laying over there in the corner, that's a whole bunch of the same thing. Well, we can't all be the same thing. We're all different. We're members of a body, and every one of us is different. So I'm not going to try to be like you, and you don't try to be like me. You find out who you are, and then you let God use you the way he wants to use you. In verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And now I just want to read this to you. This is not talking about the spiritual gifts and all. This is talking about ministry gifts, okay? God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings. That's talking about the evangelist, because if you study the book of Acts, that's the work of an evangelist and a pastor. Then he talks about helps, the ministry of helps. That can be the music ministry, that can be ushers, that can be people that work with the accounting in the church. Then administrations, again, that's a pastor, the local government. He's the shepherd and the overseer of the church. And then it says varieties of tongues. Then it says, are all apostles? What would the answer be? No, we're not all called to be apostles. Are all prophets? No, we're not all called to be prophets. Are all teachers? We're not all called to be teachers. Are all workers of miracles? No. Then verse 30, do all have gifts of healings? No, we all don't. We're all different members of the body. Do all speak with tongues? People that fight against tongues, see there, we're all not supposed to have tongues. It's not talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Every Christian should be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues. This is talking about the ministry of gifts. And we're all not going to be used in public ministry to give a tongue with an interpretation. And then do all interpret. That it says, earnestly desire the best gifts. Then in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, you can speak in the tongue of angels, it says there, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and clanging cymbals, and though I have the gift of prophecy. Paul hasn't changed his thought here. He hasn't taken 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and put love in the middle of it. He's talking about us ministering in love. We have to be ministering in love. Verse 8, it says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, I'm just going to add this, without love, they will fail. When there are tongues, without love, they will cease. When there is knowledge, without love, it will vanish away. We just came from Branson, Missouri, and there's a place there called the Sight and Sound Theater, and they had the production of Jonah, and we went and watched Jonah. And it's really something just to see those productions. But something really stuck out at me at the very end. And again, they have to add theatrical stuff to this thing to make a movie out of it, because Jonah's only, I think, four or five books or whatever. But right at the end, Jesus appears to Jonah, because every time they have an altar call at these productions, they have an altar call, and Jesus appears to Jonah. And Jonah had to go and cry out against Nineveh. And Jesus says to him, Jonah says to Jesus, he says, well, I did what you told me to do. And Jesus says this. He says, yes, you did it, but you didn't do it in love. He says, after you did it, you sat there and hoped the city would fall to pieces and get destroyed. And so we have to do it in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. Oh, there's so many things I could add here, but I got to be done here. So he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Okay, so this is your prayer language. Your he's going back and forth here, teaching the difference between the prayer language, the private use of tongues, and the public use of tongues. And when you're speaking to God, you're speaking in your prayer language. When you speak to men, what are you doing? You're either prophesying, you're doing a tongues and interpretation to men, or you're having what they call the tongues for signs, okay? No one understands him. It says no one understands him. I believe from all the things in the scripture that you have a prayer language. Now, don't put God in the box here, but you have a prayer language that the devil cannot interpret. That only you and God, I mean, you don't even know unless you get the interpretation, but it's straight to God. That's where the devil fights us so much. He has no idea what you're saying. He says, so no man understands him. No one understands him. I've heard people say, well, I have my prayer language is Chinese. Well, no, it can't be Chinese because then somebody could understand you. But there are times during your prayer language that you may go into Chinese. Somebody might be standing beside you and they would understand what you're saying. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. That's verse 3. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. When you're praying in tongues, you edify yourself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues in verse 5, even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. You know what? I just got to go on here. I just want to show you something. Okay, let's go to verse 22, Mandy. We'll come back and do this again sometime because we're running out of time here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not for those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, when the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? If all prophesy, an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, convicted of all. Is that confusing to you? Because sometimes those two verses seem a little bit confusing. But it says in verse 21, tongues are for a sign. Okay, so this is not talking about your prayer language. This is a sign tongue. There's ministry tongue, which is tongues and interpretation. But this is a sign tongue. Tongues are for a sign. In Acts chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. We see when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard him speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galatians? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? That's a sign tongue. And there are times that that's what's going to minister to the unbeliever. Now, you may be praying in the Spirit, you may be praying in tongues, and there may be somebody beside you, and it may be a born-again Christian, all of a sudden they'll recognize the tongue you're speaking in. That's a sign tongue. That's more to bless that person. But there's also so many examples of people who have been praying, and there's been an unbeliever, and all of a sudden they'll start to pray in tongues or speak in tongues, and it'll come out in that person's language, and it'll set that person free. It'll say exactly what they want to hear from the Spirit of God. That's a sign tongue. Okay, so there's ministry tongue, there's your prayer tongue, I guess we'll call it, and there's a sign tongue, a tongue for signs. And the Apostle Paul spends all of 1 Corinthians 14 speaking about tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, and he's explaining to them, and you know, I can almost see him looking at this letter and answering it, looking at the letter and answering him. And people have got so confused with all this, but tongues, there is a sign tongue. And I've heard of people going, this one guy heard a testimony, he went over to India or someplace, and he got there, was going to speak to a whole group of people, and the interpreter didn't show up. And he didn't know what to do, and the Lord said, open your mouth. And in that case, he stood there, and he just spoke out in tongues, and they understood everything he said. Verse 27 in 1 Corinthians 14. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three in each in turn, and let one interpret. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. This is such a confusing thing to some people, because this is talking again. I guess what was happening there is people were speaking in tongues, they were coming, and they would just stand there and speak in tongues through the whole message. Well, that's not edifying the church. And so Paul's trying to correct all that. And so he's saying, if you come to church and you have a tongue and there's nobody to stand up there and interpret it, then don't give that tongue. So what's happened is that's a ministry gift. That's a ministry tongue. Tongues and interpretation. But if the pastor stands up in front and he says, okay, so-and-so just had the car accident. We just got the word he had a car accident. Let's all get together and pray. And we all stand up and pray, and we're praying in tongues. That's not ministry tongues. That's prayer tongue. That's a whole different thing. And there are people that have walked out of churches and left the church because you're not being scriptural. What they don't understand is there's different kinds of tongues. The Bible started off saying that. There are different kinds of tongues, diversities of tongues, varieties of tongues. And so there's so much confusion. And the Apostle Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. The Apostle Paul said, don't be ignorant. Let's go back there, Mandy. Let me just say one more thing. Where is that scripture? Can you give me 1 Corinthians 12 and 13? 14, 12 and 13? Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, that's us, okay? Let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. That is really important. Pray that you may interpret. I've had so many people, not tell me, but in their teaching, have said that that's how they started out in public ministry, is when you're praying in the Spirit, when you're praying in the Spirit at home, praying your prayer language, pray that you may interpret. Oral Roberts used to teach us that. Ask that you can interpret your tongue. You're not always going to interpret it. But I've had this happen to me, honestly, dozens and dozens, and I wouldn't be exaggerating to say hundreds of times, that I'll be praying in the Spirit and I'll get the interpretation. Now, it may not be, you see, sometimes we're looking so much for the spectacular that we miss the supernatural. And it may not be some big supernatural thing. But I just had different times. I had you remember my testimony, the Lord spoke to me August 1992 to go to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. So every summer we went to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting from 1992 to 1999. That's just what we were going to do. By that time, Ryan would have been, 15 or 16 years old. In April of 1999, I'm praying in the Spirit one morning, praying in the Spirit, asking for interpretation. All of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to me, and the Lord said, this year, I want you to go to Kenneth Copeland's convention in Fort Worth, Texas. This is in April of 1999. I'm interpreting what I've been praying in the Spirit. And it bothered me because they had never had youth there. They never had youth at Kenneth Copeland's convention. And we were going to the one at Tulsa, to Kenneth Hagin's. So I it bothered me a little bit. And to make a long story short, I mentioned it when we had a family time, and I mentioned it. And Chris said, Dad, he says, you know what? If God said do it, then do it. It'll work out okay. So we had sort of decided to go, and the next week we got the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine, and it says, first time ever youth being offered at Fort Worth, Texas. Well, that was a turning point in our lives. That even though it had been so good to that, from 1999 till now, we've gone every year, except we had to miss it twice for two weddings. I told Denise, I said, if you get married the first week of July, I won't be there. Or else let's go down there and get married. Bob was for it, but... Anyways, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Anyways, pray that you may interpret, because there's going to be things in your own life that you're seeking God for, and he'll give you the interpretation. And it may not be, thus saith the Lord. You may be a week later, you're talking to somebody, and you'll say something profound, and you'll say, where did that come from? Well, that might have been an interpretation that you prayed 2 weeks ago or something like that. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. So the Apostle Paul starts out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and the first thing he says is, church, don't be ignorant. Then he writes chapter 12. He didn't write it in chapters, but he writes chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. And then in the end of chapter 14, in verse 37, he says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Verse 38, but if anyone be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Don't forbid to speak with tongues. And let all things be done decently and in order. So we'll end it there. We'll pick it up again some other time because we're just running out of time here. There's so much in this. I mean, we can do this for a month. Let's just say something here together. We at Solid Rock Church desire the spiritual gifts. Let's say it together. We at Solid Rock Church desire the spiritual gifts. I believe that we're in that day, and the Lord is walking up and down looking for some place to show himself or prove. And I don't want him to pass us by. And I believe that, yeah, we're saved and we're going to heaven. We're fine. But how about the multitudes out there that don't have an answer? How about the multitudes out there that just don't know? And the thing is, they look at us and they just think all we got is religion, just got this crutch. We have nothing to back it up. We have no power. Because that's the way the church has been. It's been a powerless church. All around the world, there's great things happening. People are getting healed and set free and saved. But that's not our... We're called here. We're a body. We're called here. And we have an assignment. And we need the power of God working in our lives. We need to see the things, the gifts of the Spirit operating in our lives. And so as we continue to do it, so I want you to make me a promise. Well, maybe don't make me a promise because you might break it. But just, I want you to promise yourself. I'm going to start... This is to yourself. I'm going to start desiring the gifts of the Spirit. When you get up in your prayer time every day, just say, Lord, we desire to see the gifts of the Spirit. We desire to see the things of God working in our church and in our lives and in this ministry. Can you say amen? Amen.
Faith comes with the hearing of the Word of God. And we've heard the Word of God today, and we hear the Word of God through preachers who preach the Word of God. And isn't it so good that we can come on a Sunday and we can hear the Word of God and we can be built up and our faith can be stirred up? Because like Dad was saying, I mean, he can desire spiritual gifts and I can desire spiritual gifts, but that's not enough. We're in a time now where we need everybody to desire spiritual gifts. And we're put together here for a reason, because the more people you get, the stronger something gets. And the louder we can say, hey, we're ready. We're ready. And so we all have a part. And I'm excited for what God has for us and our family here and for this area that we live in. Amen? Let me just pray for you and you can be dismissed and you can have some good time at the back and connect with people. Father God, I thank you for the ones that are here today and the ones from our family that are not here today, wherever they are. Father, we thank you that we represent your body, the body of Christ here in Swan River Valley. And I thank you, Father, that you are looking for a people that you can work through and pour out your love through. And as a body waiting for you, we're ready. And we thank you for looking for us and for moving through us in the days ahead. We are your hands to spread your love to the world that needs you. And we thank you for the signs and wonders that will follow the preaching of the word and the gospel of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.